Well, I want to say good morning again. Good morning. Seems like a while since I've been up here at the beginning. And again, I'd like to thank Pastor for his support of the Mecca Family Ministries. It means a lot to me. And that's how I talk about your pastor, that he's behind our ministry, always has been for many, many years. And we thank the Lord for that. And we appreciate all the many places that we've had the privilege to stay in and around here when we come. And we thank the family that's allowing us to stay in their home and fed us this morning. And hope they aren't fed up with us, but we appreciate being with them. They're great hosts. We've been there before, and we're glad to be back there once again. I'd like to have you turn to one of those Old Testament saints that we were talking about. Would you turn to Isaiah chapter 12? Isaiah chapter 12. In Isaiah chapter 12, I'm going to ask you to stand if you're able to, out of respect for God's word. If you're not able to stand, that's quite all right. I'm going to read the whole chapter, all six verses. In Isaiah chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee, though thou wast angry with me. Thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore with," now I'm a teacher, in verse 3 it says, "therefore with," what's the next word? Tell me.
Joy.
That's pretty good, all right. "Therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the," what's the next word? Tell me. Now wells, is that singular or plural? Ah, it's plural. There's more than one well. "Out of the wells of salvation." Now, salvation is singular. There's only one salvation, but there are many wells of refreshment in that salvation. "And in that day you shall say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention unto his name that his name is exalted." What's the first word in verse 5? Tell me. Sing. God wants us to sing out, not just mumble, not just hold the hymnal, but he wants us to sing. "Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth." What's the first word in verse 6? Tell me.
Cry.
Cry. That's to call out. That's not weeping, but that's to call out and yell and tell them, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth." Cry out. And what's the next word?
Shout.
Shout. This is Bible. Some people say, "Brother Mac, are you getting awfully loud?" That's what the Bible says. How do you cry and shout and sing and have joy and call without being loud? Cry out. "And shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the good God that you are. Oh, Lord, we thank you for this chapter and the wonderful things here. Lord, help us to be a happy people, a joyful people, a people that sing praises to you. Lord, I pray that we would be obedient to what the Word of God says. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I would like to preach a message this morning entitled, "The Joys of Isaiah chapter 12. The Joys of Isaiah chapter 12. First of all, I'd like to say, stand safe in the strength of the Lord. Fanny Crosby wrote a hymn, "Safe in the Arms of Jesus." In a castle, there's a special place where they could put the king, they could put the princess, they could put the riches or the crown, they could put the things that they want to have safe so that the enemy can't get them, and that place is called the keep. And God has put us in the keep. There's a song that says, "Joy is a flag flying high, or the castle of my heart." We've been to a castle on Vancouver Island, out in the Pacific Ocean, in British Columbia, Canada. And that castle, sometimes the queen would come to visit, or the king could come to visit. And they have a special flag that they put up when the queen is there. They put up that flag if the king would come. And it lets everybody know that the king is there in that castle. I hope the king is in the castle of your heart. I hope that you're saved. I hope that you've trusted Christ as your Savior. And if you haven't, I hope that you'll do it today. And if you're saved, you should have joy in your heart. And if you have joy in your heart, let your face know about it. Smile and be happy and glad. If you're excited, you might want to sing. Oh, my daughters know that there's a song that's hard for me to sing. Back in 1975, there's a book back there called The Adventures of Cowboy Dan in Glacier National Park. They called me Cowboy Dan back east. They didn't know what to do with a fella wearing a Western hat and Western boots. So I had nothing to do with cows, but they called me Cowboy Dan anyway back there in east. 1975, I worked at Many Glacier Hotel, and I've not gotten over it. And there's a song that I won't sing for you today because my daughters know I'll weep and I'll cry and I won't get through it. But it's a song I'll take to my grave because I enjoyed Glacier so much. It's a world-class view at that hotel. The hotel was built 100 years ago by the Great Northern Railway. It's a beautiful place, houses 500 people right on the side of the lake there. The mountains are a mile tall. I haven't gotten over it. You know, I got saved years ago. I haven't gotten over it. And I love to sing about the Lord Jesus Christ. I love to write those hymns about God. I love to write poems about God. I love to go all across the continent and preach about God. We have a wonderful God. If I was going to sell vacuum sweepers, personally, my opinion, I'd like to sell Electrolux vacuum sweepers. And I think they're the top of the line. And my landlady, we were with somebody last night, and his mother was my landlady 40 years ago. She had an Electrolux. My mother had an Electrolux. My mother-in-law had an Electrolux. And if I was going to sell a vacuum sweeper, I'd want to sell the best there is. And in my opinion, Electrolux is the best there is. Well, when I go and knock on somebody's door, I have the best God and Savior to tell them about the lovely Lord Jesus. I've never been embarrassed by Jesus. I've never been ashamed by God. Oh, He's a wonderful Savior. And I'm so glad I have the top of the line. I have the best God in all the universe to tell them about the only God. The only God that saves. And I've got a joy in my heart. And it puts a smile on my face. And it makes me want to sing. And so point number one is to stand safe in the strength of the Lord. Michigan is shaped like this, the Lower Peninsula. They have a thumb region. And then they have the Mackinac Bridge up here. Holland is over there. Detroit's down here. But right about here, there's a man-made harbor. And they have huge rocks there. I have a little piece of the stone, and I videoed that stone so I can prove which stone it is that comes from that man-made harbor. It's called the Haven of Rest. Oh, if I was out on Lake Huron, and if there was a great big storm, and if there were 15-foot waves, I sure would be glad to see that Haven of Rest and to get my boat inside that Haven of Rest and be safe in that harbor. Oh, that'd be a wonderful place to be. And that's like the Lord Jesus Christ. As Fanny Crosby said, safe in the arms of Jesus. In God I will trust. Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 2. In God I will not be afraid. Same verse. Proverbs chapter 46 talks about, therefore will we not fear. That's a conscious choice. Pastor made a conscious choice that I was pondering this morning. I think this is the 10th time he's invited me to come and to minister here. He doesn't have to do that. Oh, there are lots of other people who are out there preaching the Word of God, going from place to place and state to state. He could have invited any number of people to come. He didn't have to invite me to come back. He could say, we've had this man 9 times. Isn't that enough? I appreciate somebody who would invite me to come sight unseen. That's a blessing. But I greatly appreciate somebody who's seen me before, knows better, and invites me to come back anyway. And your pastor has been so kind. It was a conscious choice for him to say, Brother Micah, won't you come back and minister in our church once again? And it was a conscious choice on my part. Oh, I'd love to come back. I've been waiting. I'd be glad to come back. It's been a little while since we've been here. I'm glad to be here. It's a conscious choice. You know, it's a choice to trust in God. My Bible tells me to trust in the Lord in everything. Well, okay, there it is, logic. Trust in the Lord in everything. Isn't brushing your teeth part of everything? I believe that if we're to trust the Lord in everything, we should trust the Lord when we brush our teeth. I'm not sure I understand that. But that's what Proverbs says, to trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Trust in the Lord with everything. Trust in the Lord when you brush your teeth. In everything you do, trust God. It's a conscious choice. You choose to trust God. And so in Psalm 46, it says, therefore, will not we fear. We choose to trust in God. Well, Jehovah is my strength. We find that in verse 2. God is my strength. God is my strength in Proverbs chapter 46 and verse 1. He is my song in Proverbs chapter 40 and verse 3, after David was in the miry pit there. God is my salvation. Oh, God is a wonderful God. I'm having a good day. I talked about this conscious choice. And there was one day when, it was tough. It was rough. I was driving. I'm the volleyball coach. I've had up to 16 girls in the volleyball team. And I'm driving about 14 of them or so, 12 of them, to practice in a 15-passenger van. And I was having a hard day. And I can still remember driving across my hometown, Fairmont, thinking to myself, I'm having a good day because I choose to have a good day. There was a fellow in my church, and I asked him, well, how are you doing today? And he'd say, I won't complain. And I wrote a poem about him. I wrote a poem about the fact that he would say, I won't complain. God doesn't want us to complain. We're not supposed to worry. Pastor asked me today, he said, well, brother, do you feel well enough to go ahead and preach? And I got to thinking about that here in the pulpit just a little while ago. Brother, I don't know when I've ever turned down preaching just because I was sick. I mean, I can remember laying on the floor just as sick as a dog in Pennsylvania, and I told the pastor, you start the song service, I'll be there, and I'll preach. And boy, I did things I'd never done before. And I thought I'd have to sit to preach. I was so sick. But I stood, and I preached, and praise the Lord. I wanted to preach, but this was one day I was driving the volleyball girls, and I said to myself, I'm having a good day because I choose to have a good day. Now, if you were wondering about Brother Micah, yes, he's a little strange. He sings, and he shouts, and he cries out, and he's loud, and he dresses like he's from, 150 years ago, and all that stuff. And not only did I talk to myself while I'm driving those volleyball girls, but I talked to myself over and over and over and over again. You know why? Because I needed it. Many years ago, between the wars, I mean the big ones, there was a submarine, U.S. Navy submarine, the Squalus, and it sank out in the Atlantic Ocean, right at the border between New Hampshire and where we were a couple weeks ago, and Maine. And when the Squalus sank, they sent men down there about 200 feet below the surface of the ocean. And they went down there to see what they could do to try to get the man who was still alive out of that submarine. And a man went down there with that great pressure, tremendous pressure. And he had to cut the cable. And so he's got the wire cutters. And different things happen with nitrogen and oxygen and such at great pressures like that, way down there, 200 feet below the surface of the ocean. And that man had to talk to himself. Deep sea diver. And he's saying, I will now cut the cable. I will now cut the cable. I will now cut the cable. He had to talk to himself. My Bible tells me in Philippians that we had to think on these things. We ought to think on things that are good and lovely and of good report. If there's virtue, if there's any praise, think on those things. You know how you do that? It's a conscious choice. You choose to do that. Over in my briefcase, I have a sign, and I don't know what the numbers are, but it's something like 486 to the right and 486 to the left. Now, which is it? Does 486 go to the right or does 486 go to the left? Well, one is Montana 486 and the other is U.S. 486. I forget the numbers, but you know what I'm talking about. The numbers are identical. And you have to choose. You have to know what choice to make in life. And there are conscious choices for you to have to make, to choose Christ to be your Savior, to choose not to worry, to choose to have faith in God, to choose to think about things that are good and lovely and a good report. God wants us to choose Him. Well, secondly then, and praise the Lord for sermon illustrations, it says to sip. Second point is, sip water from the wells of salvation. We have a daughter. She didn't say she was hot. She said, I'm parched. And when she was little, I'm parched. And she was really, really thirsty. And what a blessing to get someplace to be able to drink the water, to sip water from the wells, plural, of salvation. The joy of being rescued from a miry pit. We're going to come back to Isaiah 12, but would you turn with me, please, to Psalm 40. Psalm 40, verse 2 says, He, that's God, brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and trust in God. Oh, he was down there in the miry clay, and God reached down in that miry pit and brought him up. And what joy he has to be on the rock. He's safe, he's secure, he's not going to fall. I may have used an illustration years ago here about somebody who was a lighthouse keeper. And actually, she was the daughter of a lighthouse keeper. And then she became the lighthouse keeper. And she was on the rock, on the rock there in Newport, Rhode Island, and on Lime Rock. And she wasn't in the quicksand of the Platte River. This fellow knows about the Platte River. And as I read about all those who were going west on the Oregon Trail, they go along the Platte River there, and the oxen would fall into the quicksand, and they would be submerged and drowned. They would die in the quicksand. Oh, but not this lady on Lime Rock, Ida Lewis. She was on the rock. She was safe on the rock. She wasn't going to slide there over her head and drown in quicksand, and God has put us on a rock. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord that we're saved. If you have received Christ as your Savior, He's reached down and taken you out of that miry clay and put you on a rock, and we ought to have joy. I told you about the Squalus, and they had a diving bell there, and there was a man, he had a strange name, John Mihaloska, and he went down in the diving bell, and they attached the diving bell to the Squalus, and they opened the hatch, and he looked in, and all he saw nothing but smiling faces. Why? Everybody wanted to get rescued. Everybody wanted to be saved. And I go around and I knock at somebody's door. Do you want to get saved? Oh, well, not today. Oh, no, not really. And they don't want to get saved. They don't want Christ to rescue them from hell. But that wasn't what John saw. He got the Medal of Honor for rescuing men out of the Squalus. And who wants to be first? Boy, they all wanted to hop up in that diving bell and be the first ones to be rescued. And God reached down and grabbed David and pulled him up out of the miry clay. Praise the Lord. Put him on a rock and gave him a song to sing. Hallelujah. And he's not got miry clay. He's got the sweet water of the wells of salvation. The joy of being refreshed in the wells of salvation. The singularity of the way of salvation. There is one door and only one. It is singular. I have over there in my briefcase a sign that says unique. And unique is a word that is so misused that the dictionary takes the trouble to explain how people misuse the word unique. Unique means one and only one thing. It means one and only one. I'm going to say that again. Unique means one and only one thing. It means that there is one and only one. If there are five of them, they are not unique. If there are only 1,000 of them, they're not unique. There has to be only one in existence, or it is not unique. We have a unique God. There is only one God. There is only one door. There is only one salvation. There is only one way to heaven. But there are many wells of the refreshment of our salvation. Jesus said in John chapter 14, I am the way, that's one, the truth and the life. In John chapter 10, he said, I am the door. There's just one door. It is singular, one door and only one. It's a song. Well, then there's the plurality of the wells of salvation. Oh, my. What do you like about Colorado? The Garden of the Gods, Pikes Peak, Mount Evans, Devil's Backbone, Rocky Mountain, National Park, Long's Peak, the prairies. What do you like about Colorado? You like the Arkansas River? Excuse me, the New River Gorge? Aren't there a lot of things to enjoy about Colorado? Marvelous state. There are many, many things to enjoy here. there are many wells of salvation. Here in verse 3. Turn with me, please, to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. As I sneak a sip of water in. In verse 1 of 55, it says, "Ho." Now, how shall we interpret ho? I don't know a whole lot of Hebrew. I know hallelujah. You know, how do we say ho? Look at me. Ho. You know, like westward, ho. You know, they're about to leave you and you're stranded. And so you're yelling to make sure they know you're still there so they'll rescue you. And you go, ho. I don't think that's it. I think they're calling out, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price." Woo! Praise the Lord. We have a friend in Montana. I started to say something about this just a little while ago. Excuse me, I tell my students that from now until graduation, which could be 5 years or 6 years for them, except for when they go to camp, when they go to grandma's house, and when they go on vacation, they know where they're going to lay their head every night for the next 5 years. And if it weren't for our friends over here, I wouldn't have had a place to lay our head down last night. Oh, Pastor would have provided another place. And then we don't have a meeting Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday or Saturday. Where am I going to lay my head? And so out in the car, we have a tent. And we may have to go camping some of this week. These folks have been kind enough to allow us to agree, to allow us to stay Monday night and Tuesday night. We've got some friends down in Aurora, and they'd be glad to have us come down for Wednesday night and Thursday night. But somehow we got to get up to North Dakota, and on the way, we may end up having to stay in a tent at Mount Rushmore or something like that. We don't have a place to lay our head down. Excuse me, but we have a friend in Montana, and he has allowed us to stay not just in one house, but in four houses. And one of them, excuse me, one of them rents for $350 a night. And the first time we were there, he let us stay five nights. That's $2,000 worth of lodging for free. It's a 12-man log cabin, and each of us could have our own bedroom. Beautiful place. And God has provided, and we could stay there free. Somebody else would have to pay $350 a night. We stayed there five nights, and we stayed there other times, and in three other places for free, without price. Oh, God is good to us, and he has provided for us without price. Well, thirdly, I'd like to say to the others what God has done. Oh, God has been good to us. The Jews praise God in the Song of Moses. Excuse me. Would you turn with me, please, to Exodus chapter 15? In Exodus chapter 15, the Jews have just gone through the Red Sea, and God has blessed them greatly. And they're excited. They're singing about it. It's called the Song of Moses. And we have here, "The Lord is my strength and song," in verses 2 through 8. "The Lord is a man of war," in verse 3. "The Lord cast Pharaoh's chariots and his host into the sea," in verse 4. "The Lord's right hand hath dashed in pieces the enemy," in verse 6. "The Lord has overthrown those that rose up against him," in verse 7. "The Lord stood the waters upright as a heap," in verse 8. Oh, they were excited. Verse 1 says, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song." They couldn't stand it. They had to sing. "I worked in Glacier, as I told you. And there's a song about the valley there. And I just, sometimes I'll be in a rocking chair, maybe in the dark, late at night or something, or sitting there on the porch with my banjo. And I start singing or I start playing that song about Many Glacier Hotel and the Swift Current Lake and valley there. And oh, what a beautiful place. And heaven's a wonderful place. And we sing many times about heaven and can't wait to go there. Well, that's what the next point is. If you go back to Isaiah chapter 12, I want to look at verse 5. Verse 5 starts with the word sing. Sing how? Sing unto the Lord. Sometimes I'll tell people, well, we're singing for the Lord, and you can listen if you want to. And we're really doing it for Jesus. You know, and sometimes we have to stop and remind ourselves, you know, when the way gets weary and the time is long and when it's hot or it's cold. We've been in the summer up in Wyoming and had 11 inches of fresh snow, and we couldn't get through the pass, and we had to stay. We backtracked 40 miles, and we had to stay in the van all night long. The girls say you can't be a manca if you can't sit bolt upright in the car all night long. Every 2 hours, I'd turn on the motor and warm up the motor and heat up the van. And we stayed in the parking lot of Wapiti Baptist Church in Wapiti, Wyoming. You know where that is? West Dakota? Yes, sir. Bud Wells. That's right. I've never met him, but I've heard of him many times. Well, we were in his parking lot all night long, and he didn't know it. And the next morning, there was snow on the ground, and I'm there grabbing sagebrush and making a fire to make some hot chocolate so my daughters have something hot in their stomach. And the bulletin board right there had, you know, a picture, had a drawing of grizzly tracks. And so I videoed that, and then I turned my camcorder down this way, just kept it running, turned it down this way, and I videoed the track in the snow that morning of the grizzly, the mama grizzly. And I videoed the track of the baby grizzly over here. And so I'm looking around, you know, and I'm breaking off sagebrush. I'm not even looking at the sagebrush. I'm just reaching for it and snapping it off, you know. And I'm the girls are in the van with my wife, and I'm there trying to make some hot water to have some hot chocolate. Well, you know, a lot of things you have to do to be an evangelist, go across the country. But God wants us to sing. You know, I could be at home and I could sit on my porch and just put my feet up and say, well, I've taught all year long. I'm done. I've taught 41 years. I'm done. I don't need to, you know, travel 2,000 miles. Sometimes we'll travel over 12,000 miles in 2 months and go from church to church and camp to camp. And if we don't have a meeting, we'll stop and make meetings. We had a meeting up there at the Continental Divide. We had a meeting out in front of George Bush's house on Pennsylvania Avenue in front of the White House. We had a meeting at Plymouth Rock. We had a meeting at the Grand Canyon. And we just make meetings wherever we are, street meetings, and pass out tracts and play accordions and things and have meetings. But, you know, I can't sit there on my porch because, well, I told you I was a little different. I hear these voices. I hear voices out in Loveland. And somebody's up there on the cliff, has their house built right at the top of the cliff, and it's as if they're calling out saying, Brother Manca, I don't know Christ as my Savior. Who will come and tell me? And somebody living down there, oh, a mile or so from Walmart, and I'm sitting on the porch playing my banjo, and I hear this voice, as it were. And I don't know the gospel. Who will come and talk about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ? And somebody else is up here in Thompson Canyon, Big Thompson Canyon. My grandfather had an old Hudson. And 90 years ago or so, he was up in Big Thompson Canyon, and his car broke down. And he hitchhiked. He left my mother and left my aunt and my grandmother up there in Big Thompson Canyon. And I told this story here before. And he hitchhiked down. He must have gone to Loveland. He got a part for his Hudson. And he went back up there, and he fixed his car, and he drove on down Big Thompson Canyon in the 1920s. My daughters are fourth generation touring North America by car. My grandfather started it. But I'm sitting there on the porch, and it's as if I hear these voices saying, who will come and tell me about Christ? Who will come and preach the Word of God? Who will come and tell me about this one and only one Savior and this one door and this one way to heaven and the wonderful wells of salvation to be refreshed and to enjoy? Oh, I need to sing unto the Lord there in verse 5. The Lord Jehovah in verse 2 is my song. In Psalm 66 verse 1, it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. In Psalm 66 and verse 2, it says, sing forth the honor of his name. Well, lastly, number 5, we have verse 6. In verse 6, you've already told me, it says, cry out, and you told me, shout. I have an expression. It's an old country expression. I hope you've heard it. You know, that's worth shouting about. You know, and somebody tell me about Old Faithful Geyser. I've got Old Faithful Geyser on the key ring I've used for the last 15 years or more. Rebecca over here knew 20 words when she was just a little tyker, a babe in arms. We went to my mother's house, and there was a mug up there that I bought for my daddy for Father's Day, and I mailed it from Yellowstone to Pittsburgh to my daddy so he'd have a Father's Day present. And old little Becky, we called her then, she's in my arms. My brother's standing over here. He's a ranger in different national parks. And I looked up there, and there was the mug that I sent to my daddy. And I asked Becky. Now, she could say, Daddy, Mama, Dart Dars, that's downstairs. She could say, Eek, that means eat. She knew 20 words. And I pointed to that mug that she'd never seen before. I said, what is that? She said, Olden Faithful Geyser. She's fourth generation. The hotel there is 100 years old. My granddaddy was there when it was new. We used to have a quilt in the car, and we took out to Yellowstone. That quilt was probably there with my grandpa in the 1920s. God wants us to shout. God wants us to sing out, to call out. Boy, Old Faithful Geyser, that's worth shouting about. We've been there different times and had street meetings. Right there at the geyser, you got a captive audience. There's only one Old Faithful Geyser. You got 5,000 people sitting there waiting for it. And as long as you get there before it goes off, they aren't leaving. And so I played a fiddle. I didn't pop my string, but I played a fiddle. And we played a quartet there and played one hymn after another. And about 1,000, maybe 2,000 of those people that were there could hear us. And they could hear Amazing Grace. Praise the Lord. Been down at Walmart down in Tucson, Arizona, in Phoenix, Arizona. It was 117 in the shade. We have a saying out in West Virginia, to make the fiddle talk. And my fiddle was saying, God bless America. And my fiddle was saying the words of Catherine Lee Bates from Pikes Peak, talking about the amber waves of grain, America the beautiful. And people knew what my fiddle was saying. It was saying Amazing Grace. And they knew it. And the policeman drove by, and he turned around and drove by again. He didn't arrest me for preaching on private property, but my fiddle was saying something. It was talking about God and how good he's been to us and to our country. God wants us to shout the greatness of the Lord. Verse 6, shout, for great is the Holy One of Israel. In Psalm 48, verse 1, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Psalm 47, verse 1 says, oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Brother, it might have been your backyard where we watched those fireworks years ago. I remember the date. It was July 4th. That's not hard. The year would be hard. But we sat in his backyard. We watched the fireworks. And what do people do at the end? Woo! Wasn't that great? Well, I saw fireworks back in the 70s. 1972, I was up in Glacier, and there's a Christian fella from Virginia, and he and I are sitting there in the wilderness, and there's lightning flashing and thunder rolling and everything. Woo! And we're clapping and cheering for God. He had his own lightning display. And boy, it was amazing. And it's worth a whole lot more than the fireworks they pay for here. And, well, what's wrong with clapping for God? It's in the Bible. Now, don't clap for somebody that sings a song necessarily, but clap for God and what he's done for us. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Woo! Great emotion is expressed here over what God has done for his people. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord that he's done such wonderful things for us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word of God that clearly tells us we have a wonderful Savior. We have the only living God. The only God that we can turn to for safety and for salvation. Father, I pray for anyone here who's never received Christ as their Savior. Lord, I pray that they might come forward today and say, Pastor, I need to get saved. I don't know this great God that they've been talking about. And Lord, for those of us that are saved, oh, I pray that somebody might want to come and kneel and pray and say, oh God, help me to sing and to clap and to shout. Help me to cry out. Help me to praise God and let others know what a wonderful Savior I have. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor?